mentioned, Pastor, about I need a little VCR and a TV. And guess what? An angel answered my prayer before I announced to the church that Dr. Hildebrand came Friday with a VCR built in a TV, and that exactly will meet the needs of my ministry over there for the soldiers.
That is so wonderful. Where's Dr. Hildebrand? He's gone already. He went to First Church. Remind me to yell at him. Let me tell you why, brother. Here's what the church did. Only this has a DVD, too. VCR, DVD, television, 19-inch Sylvania. Will that fit in your container?
Wow.
Okay, we can fight it out later, but this is a gift from the church for you. We want you to know that we wanted to equip you in any way we could. It's a brand new, it hasn't been opened yet. And it is 19-inch, and it does have the DVD, too, in case you want to use the DVD as well as the VCR. And Unite, could you and the children come up just for a moment? Not that I think Nathaniel will come, but, or I should say Nehemiah, he never comes up. But Nehemiah, come on up here, would you? Unite, I know this is hard, but would you come up here for a moment? Come on, children. Come on, Nehemiah, I see you. Nathaniel. And Benny, would you come up here too? Oh, that's right. He never comes, does he? Come on up here, Nathaniel. We want the family to know that we love you, and we tried to think, Unite, what could we do to lighten your burden a little bit? So here's what we decided, and I hope you don't mind. We have a little card for you, and in that card is the specific amount of money to buy a year's pass for Wildlife Prairie Park, or Wild Animal Park, for you, for Nyla, for Nora, for Nathaniel, for Nehemiah, and your mother and your father. And that's also good for the zoo down in San Diego, so that you have some place where you can take... Oh, look who's here. All right, buddy, he made it. Good man. I am proud of you. So you guys can go anytime you want, I believe you park for free. You walk right in the door, show your card, and you can go anytime you want. And I want to do something to show you, and you, so you have some place to go. So, we love you guys. We want you to know that. We're glad you're here. Yeah. Well, let me have a word of prayer here. Father, I thank you for this dear, sweet family, and I know the church is struggling with emotions, how to feel, what to think, how to deal with this. And we have no idea what Unite and what Pastor Mataafa are going through. But we want to pray that these little love offerings will show them of our great respect and love. And if we erring humans can do that, then how much more will you be faithful to protect this man and his family as they part to do what you've called them to do. So pour out your spirit. And Lord, one last little addendum here. We're still going to ask that Pastor Mataafa's orders change. We believe in miracles. We know that you can orchestrate anything, anytime. But if not, Father, we know that you will carry us all through this, and especially the family, until that beautiful time in which we reunite and we're back together again. So bless. Use the materials that you have provided here so that many men and women who are going off to war may hear the gospel and find a friend in Jesus Christ. So bless it and anoint it now, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I would like to thank the church for looking out for my family. We haven't been here long, but what you demonstrate
is truly the fruits of the gospel. And our heart is humble, and we would like to say, may God's glory and honor be continued to manifest it through what the church has demonstrated. I do believe that what you have shared with me to be part of my ministry will truly a blessing for the souls that I will able to share the gospel or even listen to their problems. And I would like to share with them that our church not only support us with resources, but with your prayer. And that will be a blessing for the time that I will be with them. Thank you, Pastor Neri, such a great mentor for me, and also the spiritual counseling and things that I learned from this man of God. And I know that he will continue to bless him and his wife and family as well. One more last thing I would like to mention, the leadership of the church, the head elders and assistant elders and the deacons and all the leadership of the church. I am very in debt for your friendship and your support of not only my family but all the families of the church, that they come together to embrace and surround them in their needs. That's really something that I will never forget of what the Holy Spirit works in this church of Fallbrook. A lot of people come here and visit our church, and they mention that they never seen a church, they never visited a church that they feel the Spirit of God. And even the leaders of the conference, they share that. And we just praise the Lord for that. And that spirit needs to maintain in our church, that people come and feel that the Holy Spirit, the friendship, the warmth of your handshake in praising, it's really a ministry that touches people who visit us. And may God be the glory. As we come to the time that our sermon, I invite our church to join with me with a word of prayer. Father God in heaven, we pause, realize how feebleness we are. We are not worthy to present your word, but you allow us with the promise that the Holy Spirit can use us in your mighty hands. Bless the words, thoughts that have been prepared. Bless the hearts of your people. Let the Holy Spirit satisfy their willingness to hear the word from God. May you speak through us in spite of us. Thank you, Father, for your promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The message this morning is entitled The Broken Alabaster Jar. It comes from the book of Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7 has a story about the sinful woman who visits Jesus. And what amazing about this story, all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all have their versions of this story. But if you turn your Bible with Luke chapter 7, I will read quickly for us, verse 36 up to verse 47. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived in a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said, two men owe money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debts canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hairs. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, loves little. May God bless us the reading of His Word. This passage that we have just read is a story, it's a narrative story of two believers. The Pharisees, by name of Simon, he had a leprosy, and Jesus, when he ministered in Bethany, he was able to cure the leprosy of these Pharisees. Because of what Jesus did to him, he felt obligated. He wants to do something good for Jesus. As we read, the Bible tells us he put out a feast and he invited Jesus and his disciples to come because he would like to demonstrate, to tell them how much appreciative he had for Jesus. The other believers, as the Bible tells us this morning, was a sinful woman. Her name was not mentioned, but she described as a sinful woman that she was not invited at the feast, but she invited herself. We discover this morning these two believers went to meet Jesus. They want to show him how much they appreciate it. But in fact, they have questions in their hearts. While Jesus reclined at the table, as we read the scripture this morning, the woman came in. She stood before him, knelt down, and poured a perfume to anoint his feet. And when the Pharisees, the hostess of the feast, saw the actions, create a jealousy, create a confusion, and hear what he asked of himself. If you look at verse 39, if you have your Bible, if you look with verse 39, here we can see the struggle that the Pharisees, Simon, had in his mind. Verse 39 says, when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, saw what Mary was doing, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he will know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. In the mind of the Pharisees, he had a question. He had something that he would like to find out for himself. He would like to tell Jesus, I appreciate what you have did for me. But there's something deeper in his mind. He would like to find out whether Jesus was truly a prophet. He wants to find out himself whether Jesus was truly the Messiah that was promised to come. Disappointed by looking at Jesus, allow himself to be touched by the sinful woman. He asked, "This man is not a prophet." My friend, this morning, sometimes our opinion and our selfish bias influence our relationship with the one who has saved us. Our pious experience, when our heart is not molded, when our mind is not cleansed by the Holy Spirit, we are in danger with our own, with self-destructions of our own selfishness. It is interesting to discover that Simon's personal issues affect his relationship with Jesus. He confessed that Jesus rescued him. He confessed that Jesus cured his sickness. But when he saw Jesus and the actions of that woman who liked to share her passions, it really upset Simon. Simon at one time suffered with leprosy. There was no doubt that Jesus healed him during his ministry in Bethany. Simon felt obligated, so he put up that banquet, invite Jesus to come. He also extended invitations to his friend, to the community, to come, because he would like to make Jesus as an honorary guest. Unfortunately, what desires in his heart, we discover this morning that he had a second thought of Jesus. Simon struggled with an issue. If Jesus was a prophet, if Jesus was the Messiah, how would I accept him as my Lord and Savior? Oftentimes, we ask the same questions. Oftentimes, we have a second thought about Jesus. Have you had a second thought about Jesus to be a Savior and a Lord of your life when things are not working out to your advantage? When a business is not running well? When your health is going down? Have you ever second thought about Jesus? When somebody or when a doctor says, "I noticed there's a cancer in you." Sometimes we feel like losing our spiritual connections because we're burdened with stress, with some issues of life, and we don't feel like praying. We don't feel like talking to Jesus. We have a second thought. My friend, this morning, when I got the news that I would be mobilized with my battalion, I found it difficult to accept the fact that I'd be actually leaving my four little children and my sweet wife. When I actually get the news that I would be deployed, between 6 months to a year, I find it difficult to convince myself that I will actually leave the church that I love the most. I ask a question. Does God really understand how it feels like to separate with four little ones? Does God really care? There are many other battalions, other units that are not called. Why my battalion? But when I review all things in my mind, how God led my life and my family throughout miracles after miracles, tears came down my eyes. When I review how God takes my family through miracles. I would like to say that God together. I know that each family experience miracles and how God lets and open doors in times of need. But when we feel overwhelmed, when we feel stressed, we have second thought about Jesus. And that's okay. When John the Baptist was in jail, he wrestled with the questions that was in the mind of Simon. John the Baptist sent out his disciples to ask Jesus. If you look at same chapter, Luke chapter 7 verse 18 to 20. Here you can see the flow of thoughts in the mind of the evangelist Luke. Luke chapter 7 verse 18-21, it reads, John's disciples told him about all things. Calling two of them, it sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or shall we expect someone else?" Verse 20, when the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who was to come, or shall we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had disease, sickness, and evil spirits, gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messenger, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. The good news is preached to the poor." And verse 23 says, "Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." My family, this morning, that is the thought that evangelist Luke would like his reader to know. There are times that we have a second thought about Jesus when trials of life is overwhelming us. There is time that we question, "Jesus, are you there for us?" Even John the Baptist voiced the same issues. Are you the one that we're looking for, or someone else? And Jesus said to him, "Blessed is the one who is not fall away on account of me. Blessed is the one who maintain or continue to believe and hang in there with Jesus." Question that Simon wrestled with, he failed to answer it. The same questions that we often ask in our time: how can we accept Jesus to be a Lord and a master of our life in the midst of disappointments and despair? How can we allow Him to continue to be a Lord and Savior of our lives? Unfortunately, the spirit of prophecy, Desire of Ages, describe what went through the mind of Simon. Desire of Ages says, Simon was accounted a disciple of Jesus. He was one of few Pharisees who joined the Jesus followers. Jesus healed Simon from his leprosy. John acknowledged Jesus as a teacher. John hoped that Jesus would be the Messiah. But Simon did not accept Jesus as a Savior. His character was not changed. His principles was not reformed. He had not changed his character in his acquaintance with Jesus. My family, this morning, we can get to know Jesus. We can talk about Him. We can read about Jesus. But it can never change our mind unless we allow Him to be a Lord and Savior of our hearts. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7:21, not all people who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only for those who do the what? The will of my Father. That's the question that Evangelist Luke would like us to challenge once again. How can we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior of our hearts in midst of disappointments, despair, suffering and pain without a second thought? So he introduced the story of the sinful woman. Luke chapter 7, 37 to 38 revealed the experience of the unnamed woman who was not invited at the banquet at the house of Simon, but she invited herself. The unnamed sinful woman of Luke 7, 36 could not be identified with anyone else but Mary Magdalene fit the descriptions of that sinful woman. She was a sinful woman from the city known as Magdala. She was named after the town, and she was called Mary the Magdalene because she was well known as the lady of the town. She lived in the sinful life. Sinful life that we don't want to talk about or even mention her name. Not only she lived in a sinful life, but the Bible tells us she possessed demons. So she was a totally in big mess. She messed up her life. She lives on the street. And the devil get hold of her. But Jesus, regardless of what situations we may find ourselves in, He's able to reach and minister to every need He could ever possibly reach. And that's what happened to the experience of Mary Magdalene. She was healed by Jesus, cast away the demons from her, restored the integrity, put her and make her a respected member of the community once again. I wonder why Mary Magdalene owes so much about the one who gave her a second chance. The questions that we ask this morning, how can we allow Jesus to be a Lord and Savior of our life? We can only discover an answer by looking at the experience of the sinful woman, the outcast, abandoned on the streets. But when she experienced the healing power of Jesus Christ, when she experienced the love of Christ to accept her regardless of who she was, she came to that banquet. She brought with her a special gift, an expensive perfume kept in alabaster jar. It was an aromatic oil extracted from a fragrant roots of a plant called Natostachis, a plant only found in Indians. The value of that perfume, about 300 denarii, equivalent to about 40 American dollars. It was the most expensive present. Why did she present such expensive and costly gift? Because in her mind, her gift could not exchange the new life that Jesus restored unto her. Because it was a demonstration of an experience, the healing power of Christ in her soul. That's why she chose to brought that gift to demonstrate that she has to live to experience the healing power of Jesus Christ. My family, this morning, in order for us to accept Jesus Christ in the midst of disappointment and despair, we must experience the healing power of Jesus Christ that saves us. If you turn your Bible to Romans chapter 5, that will help us how we can identify what's going on in the mind of this woman. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, Paul says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? My family, this morning, that's what happened, the experience of this sinful woman. Discover herself hopelessness, worthlessness. But Christ discovered her and set her free. And then Christ died for her. It's a one and for all sacrifice. Die for you. Die for me. Being justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. What more can we ask? Sinful, worthless. But Christ consider us precious. And He shed His blood for us. And what did she do? She brought the best, the gift, to demonstrate that she cannot earn your salvation, but to reflect that she has been saved by the sacrificial sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ. To experience the healing power of Jesus Christ, to perform miracles in our lives, is to accept Him as the Lord and Savior of our life. Simon the Pharisee failed to recognize the healing power of Jesus Christ. Did you know that Simon was healed, was cured by Jesus? But he failed to recognize the healing power of Jesus. My prayer that we are not mistaken, repeat the same mistakes. Being cured by the blood, by the love, by the grace of God. But we fail to accept Him as a Lord and Savior in our hearts. What a great disappointment. But Mary Magdalene cherished the reconciliation work of Jesus Christ. Mary Magdalene not only lived to experience the healing power of Jesus Christ, but she remembered how sinful she had been. But Jesus cleans her up. If you look at Luke chapter 7 verse 44. Luke chapter 7 verse 44. The Savior said, then He turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came in your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. My friend, this morning, if you can imagine how Mary came in, she had an alabaster jar, the costly, expensive perfume. She cracked it, she broke it open, just about to anoint Jesus' feet. She was moved when she remembered how sinful she was. And tears and emotions coming down and wet Jesus' feet. It's the tears of the deep move that she was a sinful woman, but Christ accepted her. Realize how sinful she was. No one else could help her. Left on the street, controlled by the demons, but Christ came and embraces me. What a great sacrifice. Turns her sins around. I wonder why Isaiah wrote. Isaiah described it beautifully. Isaiah 1 verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. I wonder why she was broken into tears, emotionally moved before she completed the anointing of Jesus. Her tears flowing down and with Jesus, a tears of rejoicing. I am a sinner, but Christ recognized me. In order to have Jesus as the Lord and Savior, realize that we are sinful, worthless, but His righteousness care for us. Romans 6 verse 5, Paul described the power of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, 5 and 6. I will read it for us. If we have been united with Him like this is in His death, we will certainly be united with Him in His resurrections. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away. With that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Praise be to God. We are sinful, live in a sinful life. But when we united with Christ, we surely be united with His resurrections. And the old self and the body of sin will do away with. Praise be to the Lord. Mary Magdalene also recognized the unfailing love of Jesus Christ. The unfailing love of Jesus Christ that disappointed the Pharisee Simon. When she came with that alabaster perfume, broke it and anointed His feet. Jesus allowed her to do such a noble sacrifice, but disappointed the jealous heart of the Pharisees and called Jesus that He is not qualified to be a prophet. My friend, this morning, Mary Magdalene recognized the unfailing love of our Savior Jesus Christ. Make provisions for us that we can demonstrate unto Him the passions of our hearts because of what He has done for us. My family, this morning, God is waiting for you to do something good for Him. Not so we can earn our salvations, but to demonstrate how much we appreciate what He has done for us. Oftentimes, We do something good when somebody passed away. We cry our tears out. Would it be better for us to do it while we have the strength to do it? Would it be better for us to do something good to somebody while he or she have the eyes to see it, have the nose to smell it, have the ears to hear it, have the hands to touch it? Could it be that would be the good time for us to do it while the person is alive? Mary Magdalene demonstrated to Jesus how she moved about the sacrifice he has done for her. Came to anoint Jesus. The unfailing love provides a provision for us to love Jesus. Verse 45 of book chapter 7 says, "You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet." Jesus made provisions for us to respond to his unfailing love. Unfortunately, Simon the Pharisees failed to recognize the unfailing love of Jesus. He failed to recognize, remember, he was a leper. A leprosy stay outside the town, and when they come closer to people, they will yell out, "Unclean, unclean." He forgot. Jesus did not see that uncleanliness, but he touched him. It is hard when we ignore the unfailing love of Jesus. To have Jesus be a Lord and Savior of our hearts. Let us recognize his unfailing love that provides provisions for us. It's an invitation for us to do something good for him. Not only the unfailing love of Jesus attracts Mary, but Mary draw unto him and draw a personal connection with Jesus. Let me remind you, my friends, my family, this morning. She was the most faithful disciples of Jesus. She was the last one left the tomb on Friday. She was the first one to be at the tomb on the third day of the resurrection. She was the one who first saw the rock roll away from the tomb. She was the first one to meet Jesus when Jesus resurrected. She was the first one to proclaim to the world, "Jesus has risen." What a privilege, because she could draw a close connection with Jesus, become Jesus' disciples. I wonder why Mark comment in the same story. Mark wrote, 14, "She did what she could do. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, that she has done will also be told in memories of her." What Mary had done would be an addition or a plus to the gospel of salvation and shall be preached throughout the world. How can we have Jesus as a Lord and Savior in our hearts? Live to experience the healing power of Jesus. Recognize his unfailing love, knowing that we are so sinful, but Christ covered us. Have a close connection with him. Become a disciple of Jesus. After a coal miner bought a black slave girl from the auctions, he took her by the hand to a corner down the road took her in an office. She pulled out several pieces of gold and gave it to the person in the office. He signed papers, manumission papers of release, a papers to recognize she's officially set free. She no longer a slave, but is a free woman. He gave it to her and he said, take these papers. Those are the papers to verify that you are being free. You're no longer a slave woman. She could not comprehend what this man did for her. What she did, she knelt down before him and grabbed his feet, and she said, the last thing I could do is to become a servant of the one who bought me to set me free. My family, this morning, the only last thing we would like to do to Jesus is to knelt down and say, Jesus, use us. Use us as a servant for you, because you have bought us with the price, the blood on Calvary, to set us free. There is no better offering we can offer to Jesus Christ but to give us all. Allow Him to be a Lord and Savior in your life, in my life. And we can become a living witness for Him. May God bless us as we meditate on those words, as we patiently waiting for our Lord and Savior, as we become a living witness, disciples for Jesus, until He comes. In Jesus' name, Amen.